I think that so many people in high school have a really hard time figuring out where they want to go. And there's no way to find a treasure without the map. And so you really have to recognize, and this person has to recognize what their ultimate goal is and where they want to go. Because if they get stuck in the go with the flow mindset, then it's going to go really downhill from there. And that's where kids get into drugs and other things like that, is because they don't have a sense of direction. They don't have an ultimate goal and something that they're working towards.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 89, with the host of Fueled for Teens podcast, Easton Allred.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things geek.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey, girls and guys, welcome back to another edition of the Angles of Latitude podcast. Glad that you could join me today. I'm your host, JC Preston, and I'm the founder of New Inception's, a website dedicated in helping people find their own personal freedom. And in this podcast released each Thursday, we bring you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you do your life's work and live a lifestyle that you're proud of. This session is actually powered by our new friends over at ClickFunnels. And back in session 84, I had Arnie Jiske on the show, and one of the things that he mentioned was how he was making his income as he was traveling around the world. And, you know, he actually said that he does most of his business by helping people with sales funnels. And way early on in the life of the show, I had two co-hosts. One was John Ridge, good friend of mine that I was actually my student first. And then another one was that I knew back in college was Brian Whitaker. And even back when we were first starting the show, Brian knew quite a bit about sales funnels. And apparently I had missed the boat somewhere, because I was just like, what's the big deal about sales funnels? Well, I had to find out. So I did a bit of a recon mission and found out more about ClickFunnels, the company, and its creator, Russell Brunson. And first off, ClickFunnels is the combination of three different services that most online entrepreneurs use: a shopping cart, a landing page, and an autoresponder. Because of that combination, it's going to be less expensive than if you were to get all those three things, you know, a la carte, you know, going to one company for the shopping cart, going to another company for, you know, getting landing pages, and then third, going to another company for the autoresponder. And if you want to actually compare to some of the leading providers that are out there, they actually have a pretty awesome comparison of multiple platforms compared to what they can provide and their solutions and what those other providers can give you. And really, to me, it was no contest. Not only that, but it's rather easy to use and it's very straightforward. If ClickFunnels sounds like something you want to try out because your current system is too complicated to get set up, or, you know, you're just frustrated with it, you can go over to newinceptions.com/clickfunnels and give it a 14-day free trial. Nothing to lose. And frankly, some of my guests that I've had on the show, I've gone to check out some of their products afterwards, and you'd be surprised at how many times I've actually seen a lot of my guests using ClickFunnels. So can't be all that bad, right? And if you want to be like Ryan and myself and you want to find out more about, 2017 version of sales funnels and find out what they're all about, you can actually get a free book, Russell's.com Secrets, by visiting newinceptions.com/.com secrets. And all you would have to pay for that is just shipping. Book, I think, usually runs for like $20, but you just have to pay shipping, which would be like $7.95 or $8 or something like that. So again, 14-day free trial for ClickFunnels, newinceptions.com/clickfunnels, and the .com secrets would be newinceptions.com/.com secrets. Now, that all said, today's guest is someone that I've been attempting to get on the show for a while, and he's constantly a moving target. His name is Easton Allred, and he's the host of the Fueled for Teens podcast. And you know, he's a teen himself, and his mission is to help others get out of their comfort zones. And besides this, he's a motivational speaker as well as a young endurance athlete who won the Colorado Junior Olympic race as well as the Nike Cross Southwest Regional race in Arizona. So I guess you might call him a younger version of Lewis Howes. I mean, he's really proactive and going after both of these careers right now. And, you know, in the chat with Easton, I found out about his homeschool career, how he got started in business and podcasting, and some of the tips that he tells others to help them achieve their goals. And while this is a shorter talk than most of the conversations I have with my guests, I still think you guys are going to get plenty of value from it. And, you know, if you have any teens that are considering starting their own business or, you know, just want to do more with their lives, have them check this episode out. But yeah, as always, follow along at home with the show notes at newinceptions.com/89, and I'll be on after the show to fill you on anything we might have missed. Everyone, welcome back to the show. JC here, and happy for you to be joining me today. Today, I have another great guest for you to hear. And as you know, I like having people on who are making a difference in all different kinds of levels, and today's guest is no different. Besides being a teen entrepreneur himself, he's an endurance athlete where he actually had the opportunity to win the Colorado Junior Olympics race, as well as a Nike Cross Southwest Regional race in Arizona, and he's a podcast host and a motivational speaker. And did I mention that he's 15 and is looking to have his associate's degree done by the time he's a junior in high school? Today's guest is Easton Allred, and thanks for coming on, man.
It's so great to be on.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. Totally appreciate you being on the show. You know, one of the things that as I was doing some research on you, I realized that there was a good chance that, you know, all the things that you're able to do, good chance that you're homeschooled, because Daniel, one of the co-hosts here, he's a homeschooled student.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've had a few other ones. And it seems to me that a lot of the people that are able to achieve early on success are learning at home. Is that the situation with you?
Totally. So yeah, what kind of happened for me is I was in elementary school, and then in sixth grade, I was talking to my mom, and she just kind of had this idea that I should start doing online school. It was the first time that I kind of thought that that would be an option. And most people don't see that as an option in their life, but it was scary to me. And it was a little bit outside of the box. So I originally made that decision because I knew I wanted to start a business. I'd already had that passion. And I also really wanted to exceed as a basketball player. That's why I originally made that decision to go homeschool. And what happened from doing that is I was actually able to start a business, and I got way ahead of my education, and then I started college, and now I'm on track to have my associate's degree by the time everybody else would normally be in their junior year of high school. And the thing I like so much about homeschooling is it allows you to have so much more opportunity. The world opens up to you, and you're allowed to go after your passions. The hard part is I think that so many people do homeschooling the wrong way. I think there's very different ways you can do it, and I think that if you go homeschooled to go after a passion that you have, then that's the right way. And if you just go homeschooled without a sense of purpose in a way, that can be hurtful, or it can be helpful depending on what your goals are. So I absolutely love being homeschooled.
Right. Tell me a little bit about the framework that you were homeschooled in. I mean, a lot of different ways of doing it. Some will just kind of like, okay, maybe the parent's now in charge of, you know, teaching all the subjects that would be normally taught in school. Or as you were saying, there's a way of highlighting what the student would be naturally good at, and then they focus on those particular skills. So like, kind of give me an idea of like, say you had a goal and that you were working towards it.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So this is actually kind of an interesting topic, because when I dropped out of school, I didn't really know what exactly I was getting into. So I originally started off just the first week while my parents were doing some research. I started off with just doing research on whatever I wanted to. I mean, I just got on the Science Channel and just started watching a whole bunch of stuff. But then after about a week or so, I started getting some actual format. And what I did BYU online independent study. And what I liked about that is it allowed me so much freedom. I was able to go on and just knock out 10 lessons, which would normally be like 10 days of school in one day or even in like an hour. And I think that some people have a hard time learning certain things, whereas other people can excel very quickly. And in a classroom, you don't have that freedom. You have to go the exact same pace as everybody else.
Yeah.
So I loved that. And so that was the whole online schooling education type of what I was doing. But going along with this, my schooling was really only half of what I was doing and all of this free time that I had. The second half of my time was spent planning out a business and figuring out what I wanted to do and how I was going to make money and how I was going to start a podcast and figuring out all the technical stuff and all the stuff that I was really going to use in the real world as an entrepreneur. And so that was really my favorite part, just being able to do what I loved and just doing just a tiny bit of school on the side and getting it done even faster.
Wow. Yeah, I'm sure that, you know, a lot of people that, again, that I'm talking to, you know, they went all the way up through college, the traditional route, and then they had to make that adjustment. Sometimes it's harder for others to start learning on your own. Because one of the things that I know for me was that it was really hard for me to get into books after having been given so many bad ones as textbooks going through college.
Definitely.
And, you know, the thing is that once I started reading books that were actually of interest to me, it was like not a problem. Mm-hmm. But up until that point, it's like so many people dread picking, you know, a book up or just learning because they have that negative connotation that they feel is what, you know, traditional learning is. I put that in quotes. So, yeah, right there with you, man, for sure.
Yeah, and definitely. I think the one thing about homeschooling is it's not necessarily for everybody. I think that some people work better in a classroom environment and being around those people. But I think just for some personalities and for me, like I love getting stuff done. I love to read. I love learning. And so for me, it was just a perfect fit because it was like I'm really good at being able to motivate myself to get things done. But again, for some people, it's not the thing that works.
Right, right. Another thing besides the homeschooling, and then you said that you started, you know, working on your business, is that you also mentioned that. Well, I even said it in the introduction, is that you won a Junior Olympics race. Tell me a little bit about how you actually have the time to manage training and, you know, be the entrepreneur that you're known to be.
Yeah. So a super cool opportunity running at the Junior Olympics and just having and doing the running that I have so far has been such a blast and so much fun. And I think that what most people don't realize is how much freedom homeschooling actually gives you. And just kind of going on off that topic is it just gave me so much time to work on the things that I love. So it really wasn't a problem managing my time. I got better at time management since I don't go off of the normal schedule. So that was definitely a skill I had to develop. But going off of that is just that being a good runner, I think the biggest thing for me was just my health. And I've kind of done that differently throughout the years. And I started eating healthy when I was 10. I've carried that on until now. And I think that's the reason I've been able to run the way I have.
You know, when most students are going through their high school, the teams that they become a part of are the ones at their school.
Mm-hmm.
How does a homeschool student get onto a team of any sort or getting started with a sport? Because a lot of them, again, are affiliated with schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was definitely a big concern for me. I mean, I definitely wanted to be a big part of the high school because I wanted that social situation and I wanted to have the athletics. But we eventually figured it out and we just called the school and make sure everything worked. But what happens is there's really no problem going to the school and playing sports for them, even though I'm actually going to college now, which I'm not quite sure how that fits, but it does. I'm allowed to play sports and that's so nice having that. And I think it might be different in some states, but I know that in Colorado, you are allowed to play sports at your school as long as you pay taxes for that area.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha. So that's the key. And everybody, and for the most part, you are paying taxes for it, or at least your parents are, because I was just looking at my property taxes, and there is a little section in there that says schools, and is, you know, if that's actually a major section of property taxes that people pay. So mm-hmm. yeah, there's a good chance that if you're listening to today's show and you have kids that are thinking about homeschooling, but they're worried about not being able to participate in these social events and or sports, then just go ahead and see what options that you actually do have. Don't assume that, you know, just because you're taking them out that you won't be able to partake in those events. But so how did you initially get started, like interested in starting your own business?
Man, that's a good question. I got to think a little bit on that. So what happened is I loved gardening. That was the thing I loved first. And along with that, I loved health. I mean, when I was 10 years old, my family went on a diet and I just stopped eating sugar with them, and it lasted all the way until now. So I really don't have very much sugar. But going along with this, I really wanted to grow my own plants. And we had a friend that sold tower gardens for a living. And she came to me and was like, and we were friends, even though she was mom and I was a lot younger than her, but we were friends. And she was saying, Easton, you love tower gardens so much. Why don't you start selling it with me? So I was like, all right, I'm interested. So I started selling those, and it was kind of a, what do you call it? Like a multi-marketing business. And so what came along with selling tower gardens was all of these personal development events that talked about being an entrepreneur. And I just kind of fell in love with this world of personal development and entrepreneurs. And I immediately knew after going to an event or two that that's what I wanted to do for my life and for my living. And I just felt so passionate about that. So that's kind of what got the ball rolling for me and helped me to decide that that's what I wanted to do.
Awesome. Awesome. For those who aren't familiar with tower gardens, what are they?
Yeah, totally. So tower gardens are they're called aeroponic growing systems, and it's a vertical garden that doesn't have any dirt in it. So the nutrition, there's like a nutrition blend that goes in the water that's full of some acids, and it's organic, but you can grow it completely without dirt and it waters itself. So it's a super cool gardening system.
Okay. Gotcha. So that was your first business. How did you pivot into like motivational speaking? I mean, where did it come that you saw a need that, oh, other teens should be doing this as well? Or, you know, that where did that come from?
Mm-hmm. So after I kind of got started with the tower gardens and going to all of those personal development events for that, I just had this desire to start a business, but I didn't know exactly like what kind of business I wanted to start. So for a couple years, I just toyed around with a bunch of different ideas and really never fell in love with one single idea. I kind of envisioned myself doing a product, but then I decided to go to a personal development event that was in San Diego with my mom. And so we went down there and I got to meet all these different entrepreneurs and kind of got some ideas. And I had in my head that I wanted to, at this event, decide what I was really going to do. And I met so many podcasters that were loving what they were doing. And I realized there's such a good niche for me because there's nobody else that's a teen doing personal development podcasts. And so I have a better chance of reaching the audience of high school students and helping them to get back in track, because there's so much personal development for adults that are in their jobs, but there's no personal development podcast for people like me who just want to learn this stuff while they're in high school so we can get a head start, if that makes sense.
Not even a head start, but just like, you know, properly living life, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, I agree. I'm glad you said that. That's a cool perspective.
Yeah, because I mean, it's just, to me, I'm coming from a point where it's like, I just see so many people struggling just because it's like, it's how life is supposed to be led and, you know, or lived. And no, it's not, because life is supposed to be, you know, full of achievement and happiness. And unfortunately, like, society has forced upon us this negative feel that, you know, all you're going to be doing is going to a job and living to pay the bills, or if you're lucky, you know, you have a job that you actually appreciate, but chances are you might not necessarily get along with your coworkers, or you might like the actual job that you're doing, but you're not getting appreciated in a way that you would like. And, you know, for one reason or another, you know, people just start asking the, there has to be more to this. And then it's like, you're already, you know, a few years into it, or, you know, 10 or 20 or something ridiculous like that. And so many people say, oh, it's too late for me to change things up. And it really isn't. You know, you just have to, you know, just make a commitment to altering how you're living life. And it doesn't have to be a complete overhaul. It just needs to be like one step at a time. So you were talking about the podcasters that you met at these personal development events. I'm sure to a point that they were, you know, acted as mentors for you. And this is something that I see a lot of times with young entrepreneurs, is that they have mentors in their life. And so tell me who yours are. How do those relationships begin, and how have they been able to help you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm writing a chapter about this in my book right now. And the biggest thing is, I think mentors are the biggest shortcut to success. And what I mean by that is, mentors have the ability to teach you to get through things that you can't learn in school and you can't find on the internet, because they've actually been through what you're going through. And as a podcaster, there's so many things I didn't know how to do. There were so many undiscovered things. And at this event, I met a guy named Kevin Stimson, who offered to mentor me. And I get on a call with him every single Wednesday, and we talk business strategy. We talk about how I can develop my podcast and how I can market my company and get all this stuff done. And mentors just have so many things to offer that you can't get anywhere else. And so I think that's the biggest reason why mentors are so important.
Good deal. So how did that relationship begin with him?
Yeah, so I actually texted him the other day asking, hey, Kevin, what made you want to mentor me? Because he spends so much time, I'm not paying him. He's spending so much time serving me and not necessarily getting anything back in return. And when he texted me back, he just said, I saw potential in you. And the biggest thing was, I didn't want a reward. I just wanted to give back. And I think that's a really big thing to recognize with successful people, because sometimes we don't realize how attainable it is to get in contact with big names. And with Kevin, he just wanted to give back. All these big names, they've had so much success that most of them want a way to give back to the community. And so if you recognize that, and if you show the person that you want to be your mentor, if you show them that you're willing to do the work and you're willing to follow their advice, then most of them will be more than willing to help.
Awesome. Awesome. So if you were talking to, you know, and I'm sure you're talking about this in your book as well, but if you were talking to a teen, or even someone that's, you know, maybe even in college or whatever, where are some places that someone that's in that position can find a mentor for themselves?
Yeah. So I think in high school and just for teens, it's really big to have just coaches and teachers that you look up to, and you recognize things that they're doing well that you can implement in your own life. But I think it's really important to find somebody that's maybe 5-10 years ahead of you, that's achieving success that you want to achieve 10 times more than where you are right now. And then just look at what they're doing. Decide, and obviously, as teens, you don't know exactly what you want to do with your life, but I'm guessing that most of you guys have a general idea. So based on what you're passionate about, based on what you want to be better at, find someone that's doing that, that's 10 times better at it than you, and then look at what they're doing and, in a sense, steal their strategies and learn everything you can from that person and ask them questions, and you will be amazed by how big of a difference it makes in your life.
Good deal. So, in other words, you can hop on like different Facebook groups or, gotcha.
Yeah. And I think that it's good to find mentors in person as well. And just, I think people bring success. And so if you just, as a high schooler, if you are listening to this podcast right now or this episode, then then find somebody, actually talk to them, go up and introduce yourself, ask them for their phone number, ask if you can hop on a call with them, or if they have time, they can meet with you. I think that's a great way to do it.
One thing that I've learned about getting mentors as well is don't approach it like that you're going to simply be like a leech from them. Mm-hmm. I think the best way to approach it is like, what is something that you can give them, help them out?
Absolutely. Add value.
You know, and make it, yeah, and make it a two-way relationship, because, you know, people are going to, you know, that there's a saying that says that everybody likes talking about themselves, mm-hmm. right? And if you can get someone to actually talk about where they're at and go into the conversation, that first conversation with them, about just asking them, not so much about advice, but just their story, how they got started, you know, just asking them like you would in an interview like this, and just seeing where the conversation goes and seeing what are some of the things that are working on, and see if you can help them with that. And, you know, that's how you get that momentum, or the snowball mm-hmm. going. So
I agree.
Great. One of the things that I also noticed that you're really passionate about is helping teams become non-teens. And we've already kind of talked about this throughout this interview. And I mean, you have a really advanced mindset for where you're at in life. And I think a lot of it just has come from Assure, the mentorship, and, you know, just having to become your own person so early, because a lot of people don't even until college or after become their own person. And then they're struggling to figure out what that actually means. Let's say that, you know, members of the audience know a teen or two that are struggling with their day-to-day lives and their own identity. How might they go about trying to help them achieve their own greatness and live to their full potential?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say help that teen find direction. I think that so many people in high school have a really hard time figuring out where they want to go. And there's no way to find the treasure without the map. And so you really have to recognize, and this person has to recognize what their ultimate goal is and where they want to go. Because if they get stuck in the go with the flow mindset, then it's going to go really downhill from there. And that's where kids get into drugs and other things like that, is because they don't have a sense of direction. They don't have an ultimate goal and something that they're working towards.
Right, right. Before the show, I was talking to you about how, you know, I always wanted to be an electrical engineer. That kind of got me focused. It's like, okay, if I want to be there, then I have to do the, you know, the homework to get the grades to get to move on to the next course so I can, you know, graduate and then go to college, et cetera, et cetera. So that was always, you know, that goal. Might have not been the best goal, but it got me through school. but I think that I could also say that another co-host of mine, Layla, you know, when she's, everybody knows her as the, you know, the fitness astronaut, and she like literally was focused on, all through her time in school and even through college, was focused on working for NASA. She eventually got there, realized for herself that it wasn't everything that she wanted it to be, and then that was where she found herself having to pivot as well. Now she's, you know, not totally against the idea for people working with NASA, but it just wasn't fulfilling for her. And so today she finds herself working with, you know, high schoolers who have an interest in science, because she has that background. She can offer that, that direction in getting to that point if that's what they desire to do. So what are some of the like 4 or 5 steps that you would say, can help people achieve their own goals?
Yeah. So I think step one of that list is definitely just to set goals. And that step cannot be overlooked, because as we talked about earlier, you're not going to achieve goals if you don't have them in the first place. And I think this key to getting this one down is to just set aside an hour at least and just make it happen. Knock it out. Don't procrastinate. And step two is make your goals a standard. I think that people are always consistent with the way their standards are, and if that makes sense. People are consistent with the person they believe they are. So if you want to achieve a goal, don't make it a want, make it a need, make it a standard, and it will happen. Step number three is accountability. I believe it's you're 85% more likely to achieve a goal if you have someone that's keeping you accountable. And so if you're willing to share the steps of how you want to achieve your goals and you're checking up with somebody every couple of days and saying that I did this, checking off the box with that person, then you're much more likely to achieve the goal. So accountability is a big thing. And step number four is to write it down every single day. That'll get it ingrained in your mind. And like I said, you will achieve the goals that align with who your self-image is. And so the more you write something down, the deeper it's ingrained and the more likely you are to achieve it. So I write that down every single day, and then my mind's automatically looking for ways to achieve it.
Right. What do you think about vision boards?
Man, so I had a vision board. I loved it. I don't have one now. My view on vision boards, I think they're fantastic, but sometimes it was a little bit overwhelming for me to have so many different methods of how I was setting goals, because I wrote them down. I had a vision board. I had a letter that I wrote to myself every single week. So I definitely think the vision board is a bonus, but I think that for some people, it can be too much, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And for me, it has been, because I know it's that if you've gotten around to reading the book, The One Thing.
I have. Yet, yeah.
Yeah, like that makes so much sense. It's like, what is the one thing that you can do right now to get done what you need to get done today, you know, this week, this month, this year, etc. And it's just like, yeah, that actually helps, you know, focus for sure. One of those things that you are actually working on right now that is something that you're putting some effort and some time into, and we were talking about this earlier, is that you have this upcoming book. Tell me a little bit about that, the book, who you're directing it towards, if you have any 30-day challenges that you're, you know, giving yourself to get it out the door. But tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, definitely. So really quick, before I go into that, just touching just a tad bit more on the vision board thing. I think that even if you don't have a vision board, I think visualization is a big key. I mean, I've practiced this, all successful practices. So visualize your goals. And then now on to the book. I'm super excited about this. I set this goal about a year ago and I'm finally making it happen. I procrastinated a little bit too long, but I had other things going. And now I started it 2 weeks ago and I have about a month and a half to go before I have to have it finished. And I think that the normal standard is to take a very long time to write a book, take 2 or 3 years to write a book. I'm writing it in 3 months. That's the goal. And I have a daily amount that I have to write to make that goal. So I think that's about 3 pages. And I never miss a day. I write 3 pages every single day or more. And I'm really excited about it. It's directed towards teens. And I feel that I have learned so much on my journey and I have so much to share. So I can't wait to get out my message. It's all things personal development. It's not super specific. I go over goal setting. I go over the power of the mind. I talk about peak athletic performance, being obsessed, all that good stuff.
Is there any kind of like framework that you're using, or are you just kind of doing the whole journal approach where you're just like three pages? Because I know that some people will definitely, they can do it that way, which is fine. You know, it makes that all the stuff that they're putting into the book will be fresh, but they're going to have to heavily edit it afterwards. But, or you can, at the beginning, actually, you know, plan it out. Here are the topics. Here are the things that I want to discuss, and that sort of way of doing it. What's your preferred method?
I think there's definitely different ways to do it, but the way that I found most effective for me is I started out with just getting a huge thing of sticky notes and just writing down every story that related to my success, everything that I've gone through that's helped me to get where I am today. And I talked about every lesson that I've learned, and I just filled up a whole wall full of sticky notes and everything that I wanted to include in my book. And then I kind of organized those things into chapters. And what I did from there is I go to each individual chapter and I create a bubble map and just brainstorm everything I want to do. And then I write it down into a plan of where I want it to go in the chapter. So I'm fairly organized. I like to get everything planned out before I get it written down, because I free flow much better if I have that structure beforehand.
Right, right. So that Flynn's method?
It's not. So I have another mentor named Calvin Wayman, who's written a book, and I love his book. It's called Fish Out of Water. And I called him, okay, and I said, hey, Calvin, your book's amazing. He wrote his in 3 months. How can I do the same? And that's the method that he taught me.
Okay. Well, maybe Pat got his from him then, because that was like you were describing exactly why he put an SBI TV, like one of his first episodes.
Oh, really? So I'll have to ask Calvin if that's the way. That's sweet.
Yeah, that's cool. Anything else that you got going on this next year that you're excited about?
Yeah, so the book is the big thing. I was supposed to give a TED talk in April. It fell through. I've got another TED looking up in July, but that's not a for sure thing. I'm hoping to give a TED talk pretty soon. And just doing more podcasting stuff, trying to get my business to grow, and that's what I've got going.
Good deal. So if you ever need to connect with other TED speakers, My guest list is chock full of them. So,
well, I would love that. That'd be amazing.
No problem. Moving on to the rapid fire questions. Are you ready, sir?
Absolutely.
All right. What are three of your top favorite books that you recommend or you gift to others?
Definitely. I'm glad you asked that question. Number one has got to be Lewis Howes, The School of Greatness. That book is incredible. Number two is going to be How to Win Friends and Influence People. Love that book as well. And the final one is Fish Out of Water by Calvin Wayman.
Good deal. Yeah, actually, Lewis Howes, and I'm going to have to bring this up again because I never knew these parts of his story. Maybe he put it in his book, but he was just on Glenn's show last Friday. And you want to talk about awesomeness, the fact that, for one, he's on a show that's going to expose him to probably 8 million people that have never really heard of our online marketing industry. You know, that's super cool that he's able to, you know, put himself out there like that. But the other thing is that, you know, he was really talking about things that he never gets to talk about on his own podcast. Mm-hmm. So it's just like it was filling in some of those things that I knew about him, but I didn't know all the things. Like I knew that, you know, when he first talked, when was on Pat Flynn's show, that's when he was known for webinars and LinkedIn and things like that. And I never knew how that was, you know, started from him being on his sister's couch to, you know, him being able to run a podcast that's not only successful, but he has so many, you know, big names on it. And it's just like, oh, here are some of the steps that connected point A with point D, you know? So
yeah, Lewis Howes is one of the most inspirational people I've ever met. He's incredible.
Good deal. And for you, I mean, he's like, you know, there you go. That athletic entrepreneur type.
Totally.
He's a great, you know, great inspiration there.
Yeah. I connect with him very well.
Good deal. What is a scientific fact that you know is true but still blows you away that it's real?
Yeah, so there's something called the placebo effect, and I'm sure you heard of this, but it's this effect where medicine can be faked in a sense. And so in the 1700s, doctors, when they didn't have real medicine and real drugs to give to people, they would give them fake medicine and tell their patient that it was real. And they've done lots of experiments with this and lots of scientific tests. And what they found is that if you believe you're taking that medicine, it's almost as effective as actually taking the Advil or whatever it may be. And I think that's incredible to find out that your mind can literally change. It can change the science of your body and just so powerful.
Right. And it can unfortunately work the other way too. A lot of people can, you know, honestly think themselves in a sickness too. And it's just like, okay, so let's flip this around and, you know, hope that we can actually be positive about, you know, the world and all that sort of thing. So, oh yeah, the mind is definitely a interesting thing. And it's, I was just talking to a guest earlier. I'm sure, I think she's going to be the one before this, that, you know, meditation now is, there's scientific studies that are coming out that back up that meditation actually does work and, you know, interacts with those same energies and you know, their body in a way that is very powerful. So yeah, good stuff.
Totally. And I think meditation is fantastic. I meditate every morning. My family has this joke that if I'm in a bad mood, they're always like, Easton, did you meditate today? And the funny thing is, it's usually when I'm in a bad mood, usually when I'm angry, it's the days that I don't meditate. So I love that. And I think you're totally nailing it when you say that, your mindset can either totally kill you or it can make your life so much better. So I think that's so, so important.
Good deal. What's something that isn't as bad as you thought it would be initially?
Man, good question. You know, so I think sometimes I think talking to people is really scary. I think confronting people about something that is that you disagree. I had a disagreement with the coach, and my mom and I went in to go meet him today, and we confronted him, talked about some things that we were having a hard time with. And what happened is the meeting actually ended up being super effective. And even though it was a little bit outside of my comfort zone, we got to make it happen. And I think that if you're willing to talk to people about the problems you have with them rather than letting it boil, then you're going to be a whole lot happier and it's going to turn out a whole lot better.
Good. Yeah. Those darn coaches, man. what's one service that doesn't exist that you would gladly pay for?
Ooh, I would pay for the ultimate podcast starter kit. Somebody that just made everything happen for me, just got my podcast all lined up, marketed it for me, and all I had to do was talk. That would be pretty sweet.
yeah, that would be pretty sweet. I gotta admit. Yeah, I mean, it just always seems that there's, you know, something else for us podcasters to do. That's for darn sure.
The technical and marketing side is very, very difficult for me, but it's been a fun journey figuring it all out.
Good deal. Last one. What does it mean to live a life of abundance?
Man, so I think that living a life of abundance is a combination between helping others, making a difference in the world, and loving the journey. Loving the journey is huge in my mind. I think that the destination is worth nothing if you don't enjoy the journey first.
Like that. And as we're closing out today, what is three or four steps that you could basically say to, again, someone listening to this show that has a teen or is a teen and, you know, that teenager wants to, you know, be a better version of themselves. What are some things that they can do today to start that journey?
Yeah. So I think step one is getting rid of the fear of failure. Don't be afraid to do things differently, to get outside of your comfort zone, because that's where all good things happen. Set goals. We've already talked a whole lot about that. So, so important. And the last thing I would say would be to, last thing I would say to do is to make everything you're doing in your life a standard of achievement. If you want to be the best basketball player, make that a must and a need rather than a want.
Right. Make it a mission.
Yeah.
So to speak. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. If people want help with that, or they just want to listen to the show, where can they find you?
Absolutely. So I have a podcast called Fueled for Teens. You can go check that out on iTunes. I also have a website that is eastonallred.co, and Instagram has some inspirational stuff on that is Easton Creed Allred.
All right, man. Well, definitely a pleasure having you on, and yeah, looking forward to your book and you know, future teens that you're going to be helping out here, man. So good stuff.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me on. It was an absolute honor.
All right. There you have it. I'm sure you guys can see why he's doing as well as he is. And I wish I had my stuff together as well as he does at his age. I don't know if, you know, I would have been playing video games as much as I did in high school if I had everything available to me like he has now. It's just incredible the things that, you know, kids and teens can do these days. Of course, back then, we didn't have this awesome connecting tool of Facebook and the other social media platforms. And, you know, and having fast internet, even in the country, definitely helps as well. In the show note extras, I have a few of Easton's videos. The first one is his intro into his podcast, Fueled for Teens. And then after that, I have three videos of him interviewing some of his guests, the first of which is Nick Graham. And Nick was actually one of his mentors and his basketball coach. And you can easily see how having mentors like that in Easton's life helped to where he is today. And after that, I have another interview of his where he's talking to no other than Caleb Maddox. And, you know, as of this recording, he was still 14 years old. He's 15 now. And back then, he had a goal of making $1 million by February. Not sure if that actually happened. I think it did. But, you know, it simply blows me away that these kids at this age would be talking about these huge goals. And finally, he posted another video where he's actually interviewing another young successful entrepreneur by the name of Casey Adams. And needless to say, Casey is also on fire. And definitely check out that interview as well. So talk about motivation for kids right there. I mean, again, totally wish I had some of the opportunity that these kids today have. It's simply amazing. So yeah, that's pretty much it for this week, guys. Thanks again for taking the time to join us this week. And, you know, there's plenty of other podcasts out there that you can be listening to, but you joined us. So I really appreciate that. And thank you so much. As you know, we love hearing from you guys. You can leave us feedback on the show by going over to iTunes. And if you're listening to us through your podcast app on your iPhone, all you have to do is hit the reviews tab right there on the top middle and add your own. Really appreciate it. And Android users, feel free to leave us a feedback on SoundCloud or whatever you're listening to us through. If you have any feedback or questions regarding the show or the guests, drop us that email at heyguys@newinceptions.com. And if you want to connect with Easton directly or any of our past guests, other listeners, or members of the team, you can do so by going to the AOL networking group on Facebook. Find that by going to newinceptions.com/AOL networking. In next week's episode, I talk with a gal by the name of Lisa Malice. And Lisa is the founder of Impactive Strategies and helps busy people become less busy and actually gain control of their lives again. And this is really helpful for entrepreneurs like me who feel, you know, like we have to do everything. And in this conversation, we talk about time management, combating busy work, and frankly, just saying no to opportunities that don't match what we're trying to do. And if you've been struggling with getting things done in a timely manner, then this talk is definitely one you should hear. So be sure to check out that one next week and make sure you like the New Inceptions page on Facebook to get informed when it's finally released on Thursday. And that's it for session 89. Thanks again for joining Easton and myself today. And until next time, gang, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're creating. We'll see you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, Instagram @new.inceptions, and on the web @newinceptions.com.